Well, good morning, Radiant Springs. We are Dixie and I, my wife Dixie in the front row here. We are so excited to be here. We've been praying about this time. Really feel like the Lord has given me something for us this morning. But as we were singing in that second song, there was a line that said, "The Holy Spirit lit the fire." And I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit will light a fire today. And let us experience him. So I, like Gary said, I'm a presbyter for this section here. You know, your pastor, Brent, Pastors Brent and Amy. I was sharing a little bit earlier. He intimidated me. It's okay. He knows that. I actually took my first test for certification to become an Assembly of God pastor right back there in that room. We went back there and prayed. And I think my blood pressure went up a little bit. No, seriously, guys, you're blessed. Your pastor, he's one of the wisest, kindest people that I know. And I'm not just saying that because I don't think he's going to hear this. But he... yes, I knew you would. He kind of reminds you of the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? I know he's moved by the Holy Spirit quite a bit. So, again, the better part of me is Dixie on the front row here. None of this would be happening without her. So today I really felt like God wanted to talk about New Year's Eve. You know, this is a time of year when we review our lives, we make adjustments, kind of to get things back on track, sometimes for health, finances, or more importantly, our spiritual lives. And today, I felt like God wanted to talk about what that looks like for spirit-filled followers of Christ. You know, so many times we talk about New Year's resolutions. This is a great weekend for pastors to do that, but I'm not going to. Because I don't fall into that. Those just don't work. But New Year's revolutions, aren't they usually all about us? You know, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to read my Bible through the year. You know, it can be even good things like that. But still, if we do it with the wrong heart, even good things, we're missing the boat. We're not allowing God into our lives. So I'm always reminded that God doesn't want us to just check things off a list, but he wants us to do a heart check at this time of year. But we do need to feel good about ourselves, and we do need to have confidence. There's value in reviewing. But I believe if we're not careful, we're going to be duped by the world around us and by that enemy of God that lives in this world. Remember, the battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, and those, the world and the enemy, he'll use our best intentions to knock us off track of what God has planned for our lives. And God has a plan for each of our lives, and he has a plan for us in 2025. And what I mean is, we need to do things to make us more successful and honestly, more influential for God. How many health club memberships get bought in December and then get forgotten by the time we hit February? And to be truly successful, to do truly whole, and to make a difference, it's really about changing our hearts, not just our lives. And we need to start trying to be all who God has called us to be and to let him change and direct us. You know, we are a holy people carrying the glory of God wherever we go. That's a weighty statement to carry with you. And I pray that you remember that every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday mornings when you wake up. It's time that we stop adding God to our lives and make our relationship with God the focus of our lives. I'll talk about that in a little bit more, but that's a key statement in my life. Stop adding God to our lives. It's easy to get distracted by the world around us, to worry about things that aren't ours to worry about, to desire comfort more than sacrifice. and to think of ourselves more often than we think of other people, right? So let me tell you a little bit about me so that you know where I'm coming from. You know, I got called into the ministry after I had an established career, and I had a life plan. How many of you know God has a different idea about your life than you do many times? I wanted to work my way up in the company that I worked for. I really enjoyed the people that I worked with, still friends with them. And I had really, I enjoyed that sense of accomplishment that I got when we completed a project and the customer was happy and the teams felt good about what they did. You know, Dixie and I had, we had always volunteered at church and gave our talents back to God. Whatever he gave us, we gave back. Now, Dixie, she's an amazing singer. And honestly, she only sings for God. She never just sings for herself. And I love that about her. And, you know, she was part of the worship team. And I just did whatever I could do, whatever else they needed. And then it happened. We got a call into the ministry. And I just shared about being back in that office and all nervous. That's when I was really trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? Why did I spend so much of my life building this for you to redirect it to this? Dixie and I know that our calling doesn't look like anybody else's. And we're okay with that. I took classes. I got involved with the Assemblies of God and ministered to people in any way I could. I studied and studied. I changed my life goals, and we made sacrifices, and we did our best to follow God. In fact, again, I took my test back there, and I can't tell you how honored I am and humbled to be standing up here with you guys this morning in the church where I feel like my calling really got cemented. You know, at that time, I was doing anything I could to get close to God, I thought. Anybody have the YouVersion Bible app? Well, it's on your phone. It's really easy. You can do devotionals. You can listen to them. I was doing like three of those a day, and I was not letting a day go by. If it was 11:58 at night, I'd hurry up and put it on two times so I could make it by midnight, you know? And in my previous career, we focused a lot on efficiency. And I kind of developed this motto on my own that every time I do something, the second time you do it, you should be faster and better. And that was just ingrained in me. And I brought that into my calling. Now, notice I said I brought that into my calling. God didn't. In 2021, I ended up in the hospital. Quarantined, everybody that came into the room was wearing a hood and a mask. I don't even know what people look like that were there. And I had nothing but time on my hands. You know what? Efficiency doesn't matter when you're sitting in a hospital room. I slowed down enough for God to get my attention. Now, I think it was like the second day I was there, and while I was praying and just focusing on God, I wish I could say that, because I was also focusing on my problems, right? I heard a still small voice in my spirit. And it said, are you done adding me onto your life? It was God talking to me. And honestly, it made me pretty mad at that moment. Because remember, I had changed my life and gave it all to God. So I responded with, what are you talking about? Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that voice or a thought that you knew wasn't yours because you didn't know the answer to it and you never would have thought of it? Well, that was happening at that moment. So I proceeded to argue back saying, God, I've given everything up for you. Everything I do is for you. I had a career. I had a plan to to buy a house on a lake, to spend my weekends relaxing and enjoying. And God, I prayed every morning. I prayed before every meal. I prayed at night. I've given everything to you. What do you mean? Adding you onto my life. I wish I could say I was more spiritual at that moment, but God can handle our argument with him. You're not going to intimidate God. And how many of you know that we serve a merciful God who corrects us because he loves us? The next few days in that hospital room, I worked through things that honestly that I had been carrying in life that I worried about that God didn't ask me to even concern myself with. I worked through being an achiever just for the sake of being an achiever. And most of all, I worked through trusting God with every part of my life. God used simple things like word cross sticks, whatever, where you find the word in that book. And I found myself double-checking my spelling. I found myself making sure that I did them in order. And God's like, I heard that same voice go, Rich, who cares? Nobody's going to grade your book. If you never finish this book, what does it matter? God really broke me that day. You know, and when I was in the hospital, I had this verse that I was standing on. And you'll know why when I read it to you. It's 1 Peter 2:24. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. This is the part I held on to. By his wounds, you have been healed. God brings healing. And I was standing on that, and God healed me. I truly believe he did. And he got me out of the hospital before the doctors expected me to leave. And honestly, he got me out of the hospital before some of the doctors wanted me to leave. But praise God. He did it his way. He didn't do it the world's way. That time has forever changed the way I look at life and the way I look at God. That's why the concept of New Year's resolutions just don't work for me. I've tried doing things on my own. I don't want to do things on my own. They don't work. But when you do them and the power of the cross, you walk in step with the Spirit, and he leads you to where he's taking you. You know, it really means to be in a constant, ever-growing relationship with God when you look at life that way. So now I don't make resolutions. I resolve myself to follow God closer, even if it doesn't make sense when I compare it with the ideologies of the world around me. People thought I was crazy for leaving my job. You know the saying that our life is represented by the dash in between your birth date and the day you go to be with Jesus? And that's what I want to talk about today. My father was a pastor. I grew up living right next to the church in the country, and we mowed the cemetery. I was around a lot of headstones. I saw a lot of dashes. And you always remember people by that dash. So let's take a look at what God wants to accomplish in our dash. And he does have something he created you to accomplish. This is not just another New Year's. This is not just another, well, we got this one behind us. Let's go do another one. God has something for you this year. Now, that scripture I use to remind myself that God heals, and he does. When I was in the hospital, it has a powerful statement in the middle. And sometimes it's easy to look over. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. This is the part we skip. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. If you want to know what God wants you to do or evaluate what you're doing with your life, well, are you living to die to sin and living to righteousness? Let me put it this way. Will the pastor that officiates your funeral have something good to say about you? And even more than that, will the pastor know you? But I can honestly say that because you guys are here in that weekend in between Christmas and New Year's, and you were just here last Tuesday at church, but you still came today, and there's no better place to be. I think Pastor Brent and Amy are going to have something good to say about you guys. I know that they know you. I know that they know you because he talks about you. Your pastor is proud of you. I'll just add that in there. But it is something to think about. You know, my dad, like I said, was a pastor, and I attended several funerals as I grew up. And I've officiated several funerals. And I've learned that you can definitely tell what a person was known for by the crowd at their funeral. You know, the biggest attended and the most meaningful services are not always the ones of people who had a lot of money or a prestigious position. But the biggest funerals, the most well-attended funerals, and the most heartfelt funerals are for people who spent their life helping others. People show up for those funerals because they truly are grieving. They're trying to figure out how to go on with life without them. So to make the most out of our dash, our lives, we first have to evaluate what we're doing today. You have to know where you're at now. We need to ask ourselves, what am I doing? It doesn't matter. It's easy to agree that to be Christ-like really is to be putting other people's needs above our own. Christ did that. He was the Word. Even the first song we sang said he was the Word. Then God made him the Son. He put flesh on to pay the price for us, people who didn't even deserve to be forgiven. So if we want to know if what we're doing is right and if what we are putting our energy into accomplishing and what really matters, we need to look at how someone who got it right did it themselves. And we got a Bible full of that, thanks to the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the foundation we need to be on. So what are you doing? Does it matter? Really, we should be asking ourselves, am I living for me or am I living by faith in the Son of God? I'm living proof that you can accomplish more and do things that matter more, not what the world says, but what God says when you surrender all your life to Christ. It's no longer just you and the small group of people or the family around you that benefit from you being on earth. There's only one you. It's so much bigger. Think about the missionaries that this church supports. That's you. And I don't know if you still do it, but I remember Pastor Brent talking about you guys doing a service in the park and you gave away gifts and you gave a bike to a kid and all these kind of things. That's doing it. That's living well. And you can evaluate that by, is that what it's in my heart today? So now we know that for us to do the right thing and to do something that matters, we need to die to our selfish worldly ways. And really, it's just a distraction. Those are just distractions from what God has a plan for us and a purpose for us. The next thing we need to ask ourselves, what does God want me to do? So we figured out where we're at now. But what is it that God wants me to do? And if you're like me, you would like a guy to stand up here and say, God wants you to eat 2 eggs every morning, run a half a mile, do this, and then talk to somebody. But God doesn't work that way. And we can put that expectation on God, but sometimes he tells you, and many times he just says, go and do what I've already told you to do, right, in the Word. God just wants us to be in relationship with him. And honestly, relationships are more like a journey, aren't they? Ask my wife. When Dixie married me, she had no clue that when we got into our closing in on retirement, right? We're supposed to be thinking about retirement, buying that retirement truck, having our whatever nest egg, that we would be lowering our standard of living to serve God, because it's what God has for us. It's our journey. And I know that I'm speaking for her when I say she wouldn't have it any other way. Now, the words that God spoke to Jeremiah is going to speak to us today. He's an Old Testament prophet that God spoke to him to speak to the Israelites to let them know that he saw them when they were in exile and that he was going to rescue them. But since we're on the backside of that exile and we're part of the rescued people, these words still matter to us today. Jeremiah 29:11. Many of you know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, this tells me that whatever plan God has for us, it brings peace, not evil. His plan for you gives you a future and a hope. You know, you can look at me and go, well, my life doesn't feel like I have much peace, and hope is a premium. But I'll tell you, I've been on the other side. Truly, I will walk through anything with the Lord any day rather than to have riches and whatever the world says is good. God wants you to live for the future. God wants you to live in hope. Let that sink in a little bit today. That really should make us feel good. The Creator, the one that knows us, every hair in our head, he has numbered. So look at your life. Do I feel like my future's hopeless? If you feel that way, it's time to seek God and listen to what he has to say, because the world will lie to you. And what he has to say doesn't line up with you feeling hopeless. Doesn't line up with the plan he has for you. Another Old Testament prophet got this answer for us when he asked God, God, what do you require of us? Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, oh man, that's us, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, if you're like me, I'd rather have just this list of things that I can measure. I like step-by-step instructions. I like to have that feeling of accomplishment. I still fight off that little achiever thing in me. But God likes to establish foundational concepts in our life for us to live by, to make decisions by. These concepts are concrete, and they're not going to budge. The truth in the Word does not budge. You know, that little word do is an action statement. To do justice. Did you notice that? It means that we live justly. We always act fairly. We give proper measure. But you know what else it means? We speak for those who can't speak for themselves. You know, there might be somebody in here that's going to run for political office and speak for God in the world. You know, it really is in the heart of a good police officer. They protect. So to do justice is to make a godly difference in other people's lives. You know, that's what God has for you next year. It also says that we're supposed to love kindness. Notice it doesn't say do kindness, but to love kindness. It means that you put kindness over any other action, like being kind to somebody that doesn't deserve your kindness. You might get that opportunity this afternoon. You go out of your way to do what you love, don't you? If you love fishing or if you love hunting, you may drive hours to go do that. Now, if you're like my wife, who loves entertaining, especially this time of year, and I am a little sleep deprived because of this, but it's all worth it. She loves entertaining in her house. She will work hours getting the house and the food ready along with all the details just to bring it all together, when you think about it, just for a few hours for people to relax and enjoy themselves. So when we love kindness, it means that we put extra effort into it. It means even when kindness is hard to have for some undeserving person, we are kind, because that is what God has called us to. Loving kindness is looking past the present, how they're treating you in the moment, to seeing them how God sees them in the future. It's unconditional, like the love of Jesus, that the love of Jesus has given to us. Now, loving kindness so much also applies when we need to correct or redirect somebody. We need to have the courage to do that, because it's easy just to not, to let things go. But sometimes kindness means you're going to come alongside somebody and help them. So love kindness, do justice. Now, the notes in my Bible describes walking humbly with our God. That was the last part of that. I love the description, so I plagiarized the Bible. Is that okay? We can do that today. But the notes say, it is something that requires constant gratitude toward God. Something that easily slips out of our hands if we don't think about it. Total reliance on God. Well, I don't really like relying, but God is faithful, and he teaches us to rely on him. He wants us to rely on him. And an undying respect for his purposes, following them every day. So in 2025, will you walk humbly with your God? In all things, consider what God wants. When you're making life choices, will you ask God first? Weigh your decisions against what the Bible says, because we know that God speaks through the Bible. You know, should you take that new job? Should you marry that special person? I didn't make any eye contact. I don't know if there's anybody in here getting married. Should you buy that business? What should I do next? Why not ask God, the guy that created everything, that knows the beginning from the end, for advice? It's so easy, but so many times we miss that. I plan on doing that more as I humbly approach 2025. God has never failed me, even when I blamed him for things that he didn't do. He corrected me, and he did it with kindness. He corrected me because he first loved me. His love for me didn't depend on my love for him. And that's what God's calling us to do with the rest of his creation. So what am I doing? It doesn't matter. What does God want me to do? So as we figure out the foundational truth of that, what's next? Well, honestly, we need to put some time and energy into our relationship with God, because now it's time to get serious, because it matters. There are things going on in this world right now that need God's attention. There are people that need Jesus, and it matters right now. You know, God didn't make a mistake when he put you here at this specific time in history. God planned for you to be here, and God has a plan for you while you're here. So you may be thinking one of these things. These thoughts might be going through your head. And honestly, they're lies from the enemy that he's telling you, because he's scared of you. He's scared of the cross that you carry. He's telling you these things because he doesn't want to see you walk humbly with God. You might be thinking, does what I do really matter in the big scheme of life? I know I've had that thought. Or there are people that are more talented and better looking and have much more influence, so God must be calling them, not me. I may have messed things up so bad that I can't do anything important for God. Or this one. You know, I'm from a small town in Nebraska. I was from a town smaller than Crete. Actually, it was a village. And you're thinking, I can't be used by God. I only had 18 people in my high school class. There's more people in this room. But I'll tell you what, God sees things differently. Micah, that Old Testament prophet we just quoted, he was from a small agricultural town in Judah, and he wasn't the only prophet from a small town. He was used to challenge and encourage a nation, and in turn encourage us today. Look at the men that God picked for Jesus to disciple, if you're thinking you're not worthy. He used them to spread the good news of the gospel throughout the world. You know, those men were not only guys with earthly influence and financial wealth. Many of them were not. They didn't have that. But God didn't pick his people that way, and God picked you. And the ones that had money and good jobs, they left them behind to follow Jesus. And none of them had spotless lives. It's easy for us to forget, but God had to forgive the disciples, just like he forgave us. And yes, what you do matters in the big scheme of life. Remember what Paul said to the Galatians, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." I find comfort in that. I don't have to do that. That quiets that achiever issue that was built in me, because it's Christ who lives in me. When we do it right, we're not doing it in our own power. When we do it in the power of the cross, and when the power of Jesus' resurrection is lifted to its rightful place in our lives, people will notice. People around your community are going to notice. And I'll tell you what, guys, from the outside in, people notice you already. We need to lift Jesus high. What you do matters. God created you, like I said, for this time in history. You're not an accident. You're made on purpose, and God has a plan for your life today. So what does getting serious look like? You know, again, it's a journey. It's not just an accomplishment. And I'm going to go on from Jeremiah 29:11, that, you know, God said he had a purpose and a plan for us. 12 and 13 are so awesome. Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." We're getting serious, and God is listening to us. There's multiplication there. Verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God's giving us a recipe for how to be serious moving on in 2025. So what it looks like is pray to God often. Seek God's will with all your heart. God promises that he will hear us and he will let us find him. We serve a good God. The world around us needs Jesus badly. People perish because of lack of knowledge. It's time to get serious with our own personal relationships with the Lord so that God can put us in the right place at the right time to share that power of the cross with them. So as you walk into 2025, let's do it in prayer. And I mean legitimate prayer, not the prayer I was complaining about to God, not just over every meal, not just in the morning, not just at night, but not a prayer that you check off a list and you feel good about yourself at the end of the day, but a prayer that's rooted in gratitude to God, prayer that's based in a humble and sincere relationship with the God. You know, speaking in tongues, allowing the power of the Spirit to go with you. Have a full relationship with God as you relax this afternoon. Ask God to show you prayer opportunities that you may be missing. You know, I believe one of the things that make any church effective is intercessory prayer that covers each service. Now, that doesn't even have to be organized. Dixie and I, we pray on the way to church. We have a bridge we go under, because how many of you know that life happens and Sunday mornings can be very distracting, and you may have discussions about things that don't really even matter? So we made a pact that it's okay to interrupt the other person and pray when you go underneath this bridge. And I'll tell you, the Spirit always moves in a way, and redirects and re-puts himself in the right place. So make opportunities for God to talk to you when you pray. I could hear God when I was forced to slow down. The voice of God will change you. The world will try, honestly, to bury how God changes you. The world wants you to be the same and look the same and try to accomplish the same things you did last year. But that's a distraction when we don't look for what God wants us to do. And this is why God told Micah that we should walk humbly with our God. You're less likely to go off track when you're walking with God, who created the path of our lives. Who better? Do whatever you can to know God better. Join a Bible study. Be here every weekend and ask God to reveal his scriptures to you. Those little words, the do, and not just to be kind, but to love kindness, those things matter. You may be surprised to find out how much God has to say to you through the Bible. And if you read the Bible and you feel like you've got nothing, I will tell you, when you choose to spend time with God and you're reading scripture and you don't understand it, pray, ask him. 4 hours later, you're going to get something. God never leaves you hanging. And if you happen to be here this morning and you're thinking, I mean, honestly, I don't know you. I'm assuming that all of you here have a relationship with Jesus. But I told God whenever he allowed me to teach, I would never not invite people to know him, because that's what we've been talking about. The best church is a church that allows people to see what Christ followers look like, right? So if you're here, you might be thinking, why would I even want to follow God? And why do I care about what God says? Well, let's take a moment and let's all be really honest with ourselves. Do you feel complete? I can honestly say I do. Even though I mess up in my life, and I'm not the best husband, and I'm not the best employee, and I'm not the best child of God sometimes, I do feel complete. I know that he completes me. And it's a comfortable place to be. It's an encouraging place to be. Do you have any whys in your life that you just can't answer? And the worst part of that is, do you feel alone in that struggle? God created you to be in relationship with him. He created you. He wants you to let him be your heavenly father. He created you, and he sent Jesus to us. That's the whole Easter story. God loves you so much that Jesus, the Word, would become flesh. He became man. I don't know about you, but if I was in heaven, it would take a lot to get me out to come back. And I love my wife. I love people. But Jesus loved you that much that he wanted to restore everybody to him. And honestly, all you have to do is confess out loud with your mouth, the Bible says, that Jesus is Lord. When you speak out loud, your heart hears, your mind hears what your heart's doing. Jesus is Lord. There are people outside these buildings that don't know that Jesus is Lord. And can you imagine walking around life without having guidance, direction, or somebody who cares? We see that in people's lives all the time. I was blessed to have a good family. I wish I would have been nicer to my parents. Just like now, I wish I would have been nicer to God when I was growing up. I'm blessed to have that. Yes, people without earthly parents, many times they're achievers and they can do things, but they're missing a relationship, that journey. And God wants to go on that with you. So all you have to do is say, Jesus, you're Lord. And believe it. And believe that God rose Jesus from the dead. That's what paid the price for our sins. God doesn't force you to accept him. He allows us to choose him. So if you're one of those people and you're sensing that you want to let Jesus guide you and protect you, I'm going to lead us in a prayer in a moment. Let your heart say that prayer, right? Let it not just be mouth. You're not going to make me feel better if you're saying it. It's all about you and God. We just get to be here for it. So, and like I said, I know many of you, you're here on the weekend in between Christmas and New Year's. You've gone to church so many times, but you're still here because you're pursuing God. You are already doing many of the things I already mentioned. But I think it's important for you too to have a prayer like this in your pocket. It's not the words. It's the heart behind the prayer. But you may run into somebody in the cafe and they're like, I have no idea why you go to church, but I think I want what you got. And you can explain that to them. So I'm going to have us all repeat this prayer after me just so you have a tool. And if you're doing it for the first time, the Bible says that all heaven rejoices. It rejoiced when I accepted him, and it'll rejoice when you accept him. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I recognize that you are Lord, that you loved me and sent Jesus to pay the price for the way I've lived my life. I submit to you, and I thank you, and I humbly follow you from this day for the rest of my life. Amen. So, honestly, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please come and talk to me after the service. It's important that you share with someone verbally what your heart did so your mind knows. And also, it's important that you come back to this church next week and continue to learn about God. And he's a God that loves you, and he loves kindness. So I'm going to turn this back over to Gary. But if you have any prayer needs, I'm a traveling pastor. I get grace for this. But if you have any prayer needs, and if you have a prayer team or you're on the prayer team here, please join us up front. I think it's important that we pray for each other at the end of service. And we'll be right up here. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Rich. Well, let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll have some time. Anybody that would like prayer, come on up. It's a good day to have it fixed. Father God, we thank you for this time together with you, Lord. We thank you for a guest speaker. We ask that you lead us forward in the week ahead, Lord, and into the new year in your word and in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.